In cybersecurity, speed is survival. SOC Radar is your early warning system, monitoring external threats to your company to spot risks before breaches. SOC Radar delivers proactive threat intelligence with actionable insights for holistic exposure management across attack surfaces, dark web, and brand protection. With automated detection, triage, and investigation, SOC Radar is your business's frontline defense. Start your free trial at socradar.io/podcast. That's socradar.io/podcast. Don't wait.
You're listening to Nightmare on Film Street. The current time is 6:66. Traffic is clear ahead from here to the afterlife, but it's hell outside. So, let's give a grave welcome to our hosts, John and Kim.
Hello again, fiends, and welcome to Nightmare on Film Street, the horror movie podcast for the casually obsessed. I'm Kimmy.
I'm John.
And this week, we're doing, like, not a horror movie.
Okay.
We're doing an action sci-fi
horror movie.
Spooky.
Action sci-fi horror movie.
Yeah, no, I totally am of the camp that Terminator, which we are talking about today.
That's right.
Is horror, at least horror adjacent.
Like, absolutely.
If there's a Venn diagram of action or sci-fi and horror, Terminator is in that crossover part.
It's in the center of that Venn diagram.
I was like, what do you officially call that?
You're right. A horror movie is not what you first think of when you think of the Terminator, but it is absolutely in that Venn diagram. And that Venn diagram is called tech noir, which is a term.
It's the name of the club.
It's the name of the club.
In the movie.
Exactly. Like, James Cameron is the person who came up with that title, essentially.
Is tech noir a real thing?
Not really. It's kind of, it's a subgenre that exists in the headcanon of nerds.
Of James Cameron.
You know, movies like Blade Runner get put into it. It is essentially movies that are dark, futuristic,
Brave Little Toaster.
Noir. Sure, why not? Let's throw it in there.
Iron Giant.
And definitely. And they have a darker bend to them, which noir has always been dark. But again, it's not like an official subgenre. You know, movies like Total Recall would kind of fit into it, or Minority Report.
I don't think Terminator's noir at all.
It's got lots of shadows. It's set at night. What are you talking about? There's trench coats. It's totally a noir.
Yeah, no. But there's no detective smoking and like a double cross from an evil lady.
There is a police officer who is smoking in this movie so much that when he asks his fellow police officer, Lance Henriksen, for a cigarette, he goes to pull it out of the pack and realizes he's already got a cigarette in his hand. There is tons of smoking.
Yeah,
in
that's
this
the
movie.
Best gag of the movie. And also, it's the thing that got me on board when we were watching it. I was like, I don't think I like this. And then. There was that cigarette gag, and I was like, okay, I'm here.
Yeah.
Actually, the lizard is what got me on board.
Everybody
the
loves
bearded the dragon?
Lizard. It's an iguana.
Iguana. Whatever. Shout out Pugsley.
Shout out
Highlight Pugsley. Of the film.
Absolutely.
Really mad that he was only in the beginning.
Should have been at the end.
He should have been at the
Who cares about that fucking
detective
dog, right?
Office.
Like, don't worry, we got Pugsley for you. Your friends are dead, but the one thing that matters is here.
Yeah, they left him at the crime scene?
Okay, but yeah, we're talking about The Terminator on the podcast because it is 100% an action movie. It is a sci-fi action movie, but it is a sci-fi action slasher film. I think that is the way to watch it. And James Cameron has been very upfront about, like so many people, taking inspiration from the success of John Carpenter's Halloween and trying to apply that to his own ideas.
I totally can see that. I was thinking that particularly the sequence where the Terminator is looking for Sarah Connor and and ends up at her apartment and kills her cool-ass roommate and her boyfriend.
Yeah.
That feels straight out of a Friday the 13th film.
Totally.
It feels like Jason's gone into a cabin and is just, like, destroying.
Especially when he breaks through the wall and it's, like, slow-mo for a little bit. It's crazy.
And yucks that boyfriend around.
He basically throws the boyfriend around the room until the boyfriend dies. It's nuts. But yeah, he is an unstoppable killing machine like a shark or like Jason Voorhees or Michael Myers. He almost doesn't have, I mean, he clearly has a defined purpose, but he's unstoppable. He doesn't have any thoughts. His only goal is to kill this woman and he will do whatever he can to kill, like whatever he can to accomplish his goal.
Mm-hmm.
There's a great line of dialogue from Michael Biehn as Reese in the movie, which surely had to be 80% of the trailer. It's just like, he has no feelings. He has no thoughts. He will not stop. He only wants to kill you. Like, that's just put that scene with some cool music behind it. That's your trailer.
Yeah, but that was an era where they had like the guy being like, he has no thoughts. He has no feeling. Like, they wouldn't use the clip from the movie.
I'm going to show you the trailer now for this movie afterward. You're going to love it. Also, the trailer for Terminator 2 is a pure work of art. Like, you're going to go nuts over these trailers.
I'm so excited.
I know. I had a little bit of a roller coaster watching this movie with you because I could tell that you were just like, this is just, there's too much boy energy in this
movie. It's so fucking long, this movie. And it's just like, we run to a spot and then the Terminator comes to that spot. And then we like miraculously drive away in a car we found. And then the Terminator's like, muh, and shoots at us. That happens like 6 times.
The same thing happens in Friday the 13th movies, but we talk about those all the time.
Yeah, but sometimes Jason gets a new outfit.
Terminator changes clothes in this movie.
He does get a new
He gets
outfit.
His eyebrows burned off. He looks real dumb, but he puts on some cool sunglasses afterward.
And he loses his eye.
I also think this movie
is long as fuck.
It's long as fuck, sure, because like they're introducing a bunch of new sci-fi stuff. You know, like there's a lot to
explain.
I don't think
we have to go to the future as much as we do. It feels like we're just going there because it's the 80s and we love the future. Or we hate the future. The 80s had a complicated relationship with the future. But it turns out they were fucking right.
Right. Yeah, that's the thing. The movie starts in 2029 and the world is destroyed.
Like, the AIs have fucked everything up. And I was like, checks out.
Yeah, it still checks out. We've still got time for
nuclear
this to
war
happen.
Fucking sucked. They're like, checks out.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally. And I mean, if we're all looking at the calendar, there's a real good chance.
We're due.
That 2029 is where it becomes
it's
nothing
gonna be
but
just
rubble.
As shitty as it was for Sarah Connor.
Yeah.
Yeah, the 80s. Like, I remember watching these movies when I was a kid and as a teenager, because a lot of them were boy movies and I didn't see them until then. Where it's this like dirty, gritty, grimy dystopia, mm-hmm. and we're post-world where something has happened and things are shit,
yeah.
because humans suck. And you're like, wow, they were really pessimistic in the 80s. And now that I'm like at the period where all those films were set, you know, not long in the future, maybe 25, 30 years, and that's where I am, it's pretty shitty.
It's pretty, yeah, sure.
Pretty shitty. Uh-huh. We still have Blue Sky, which they were not expecting.
Yeah, enjoy it while it lasts, kid.
Yeah, I'm sure
it's gone soon.
I'm sure that'll be gone soon. With all the fucking wildfires, it's going to be Constantine Underground soon.
Yeah. We're going to have to start the resistance, and we're going to have to learn
oh,
how to
I
fight
don't
these
have the
goddamn
energy for
robots.
That. No.
Somebody's got to write
will
a
be
newsletter.
An NPC.
You could do the newsletter.
Oh, I could do the newsletter. I was going to say, I'll be an NPC in the resistance. I'll be one of those people that are like at the shoddy market who are like in rags, and they're like, please, sir, may I please have $53 for a can of beans?
Oh, you think we're still using money?
I don't know.
Yeah, you're not just like, here, take a child. What I love about the Terminator, which I think is something that gets lost because of how big this franchise got and because of how wildly successful James Cameron is.
How many Terminators are there?
I don't know, 11.
What?
No, there's not that many, but there's too many.
I've seen two, including this one.
I've seen most of them. There's the Terminator 1, 2, and 3.
Did they get any cooler after the liquid one in the second one?
No.
Mm.
No, there's Terminator Salvation, there's Terminator, I think, like, Regenesis or something.
How many is Schwarzenegger in?
Well, so he came back in one of the more recent ones. Linda Hamilton came back in one of the more recent
I
ones.
I remember seeing that. She looks really cool.
I think it was called Dark Fate.
She looks like Rambo.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm here to kick Terminator ass.
But the only real, the best ones are the first two.
Mm.
McGee did one of them, and I think it had Sam Waterson or whatever, the guy from Avatar. Like, that was the one with Christian Bale as well. Like,
Christian Bale is in a Terminator?
He plays John Connor.
Really?
Yeah, in the future.
Really?
In the present, you know.
I might watch that one.
that's also where we got all of the audio recording of him freaking out on set. You remember all that?
Yeah.
That's where that came from.
Yeah.
Anyway, the first two Terminators are the ones that count. And yeah, James Cameron is one of the most successful directors of all time. The Avatar movies.
Financially,
sure. The Avatar movies, the Titanic, like, these movies have made billions of dollars.
Financially.
Financially. I think most critics like his movies as well.
I think the Avatar movies suck.
I think the Avatar movies suck as well.
We must get the unobtainium.
Hey,
what?
It comes up a lot. People have not forgotten about that. Don't worry. I read an article.
That's the only thing I remember from that movie. And that somebody barfed on me, which tainted my view of it.
Okay, well, anyway, what I'm trying to say is that The Terminator from 1984 is such a small movie. It is maybe like a pure example of how good independent film can be.
All right.
Don't get me wrong. It got it eventually found.
How much money did it cost?
It cost $6.4 million, I think.
That's not an indie film.
It is an incredibly modest budget for what this movie is.
What? That's a Blumhouse film today.
Agreed. It made
for an action film, fine.
It made $80 million. It was, and nobody thought it was going to be good. James Cameron's agent, when he first told him about the idea for the screenplay, said, "Oh, this is terrible. You should do something else." And James Cameron fired that agent immediately. The best part about reading James Cameron's Wikipedia, or about reading the Wikipedia for any movie that he's worked on, you get to read between the lines about how much of a fucking hard ass James Cameron is. Where like they're talking about the design of the Terminator and how James Cameron and Stan Winston were going back and forth about what the Terminator should look like, and they went through tons of different iterations and eventually landed on one that looked like James Cameron's original drawing, like from when he first thought of the movie, because James Cameron is the smartest person in the room if James Cameron is in the room, according to James Cameron. He's the only person that's right, and unfortunately when his movies make a ton of money, he's allowed to continue to be the only person that's right.
I mean, it makes sense, though.
Some of the decisions he makes are incredible. Nobody like, thought Titanic was going
to
be good.
If you're Hollywood and you want to make money, you hire James Cameron to do whatever the fuck he wants.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, is this James Cameron's best movie?
That's tough. I have a real soft spot for filmmakers' first movies, especially when they have such strong first movies,
mm-hmm.
And it's hard not to look past that, because, like, this is his, technically his second movie. He made Piranha 2. It was a huge problem for him. He basically likes to say, it didn't happen. It never existed.
It's because they didn't go with his Piranha design?
Probably, yeah. But yeah, he's a real hard ass, but he's very good at what he does.
Mm.
But you're right. It's essentially what you got to do to get shit done in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm. But is this your favorite?
I think it might be, yeah. Like, I really like True Lies. I really like Terminator 2. This is probably my favorite. It's so fucking scrappy.
It's funny because, like, I think this movie's long as fuck, but I probably agree.
Yeah. Terminator 2, I think, is a more fun movie. It's got more stuff to it. It's a little more polished.
Mm-hmm. This one's more horror, though.
Absolutely.
I feel like this is more the vibe that I want when I'm watching robots kill people.
Yeah, and I think that's because...
I don't want fun when robots are killing people.
I don't know, Terminator 2 is pretty fun, and I really like it, but you're right. Like, it's more fun.
I want Jason Voorhees' robot.
Yeah. And because this was, like, such a new idea, that's what they could get away with. This movie came from a fever dream that James Cameron had.
when he had pneumonia one time?
Basically, yeah. Like he was sick, he had a fever dream, and it was the robot. It was the Terminator walking out of a fire holding like knives and guns and shit. And he woke up, he's like, "What the fuck was that?"
Better then, write it down.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, "I think I just found my villain for my Halloween ripoff movie." And it kind of went from there. He sold the rights of it to Galen Hurd for like $1. With the condition that he be the person that makes the movie. And she believed in him so much that she took this entire project.
You know a lot
project.
About fucking James Cameron and Terminator, I have to say.
I also just know a lot about Galen Hurd. She is, like, we all talk about how incredible Deborah Hill is. Was, yeah, right? But Galen Hurd was also a huge badass. And, like, let's be real. The Terminator does not exist without Galen Hurd, but also James Cameron doesn't exist without Galen Hurd. Because she... She was Roger Corman's assistant, so she is very well-versed in how to make a movie on a low budget and how to make it look big and how to get it sold. Nobody wanted to make this movie, and they especially didn't want to make it with some guy who they didn't trust to make it, but she really held on to the relationship that she had with James Cameron.
Was this before they were married?
This is before they were married.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
I was like, were they stupid? Or?
But like, there are so many good stories about Galen Hurd just getting shit done. Like, she was trying to get
she
a meeting.
Was half all the money.
She couldn't get a meeting with, I think it was a studio executive at Orion. They just wouldn't see her. But then she found out that he was trying to sell some big expensive desk. So she made a meeting to go buy this desk and then was like,
oh, by the way, and like a script falls out of her coat.
Oh, what's this?
Oopsie.
Yeah. She was that kind of person. She would just get it. She's like, whatever needed to be done, she would make it happen. And they met nothing but roadblocks and problems while making this movie. And they just rolled with
every,
the punches.
That's every fucking movie.
That's every indie movie too. But like, you also don't have the money to just reschedule everything. You don't have the money to let your actor take a couple weeks off because she rolled her ankle and is now in pain for the entire duration of the production.
Aww,
you know, shit like that.
Not Sarah Connor.
Linda Hamilton got hurt. Yeah, and then she basically, like, they pushed all of the scenes where she had to run to the end of the shoot.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, apparently it was a nightmare for her.
Aw. They're like, we're just going to do the sex scenes.
For like 3 weeks. Oh, man. No, I do know a lot about this movie. I really like it a lot. There was a whole lot of interviews that Galen Hurd was doing a couple years ago, like for the anniversary of the movie. So I kind of got refreshed on all that a while ago. But yes, as a horror fan, I love watching it as a horror movie.
So did you see this when did this come out? Before we were alive, right?
This came out before we were alive. Okay. This came out in 84. But yeah, I watched it on VHS as a child, you know. I love telling people that like the first time I got really scared by a movie was Terminator 2. Because the robot in the opening credits was just too fucking scary for me.
Terminator 2?
Terminator 2. Mm. That was the movie my dad wanted to show me. I love the idea. Like, my dad just like, oh, me and my son, we're going to bro out on the Terminator 2. Yeah, and I just had nightmares.
Okay, so you want to hear my relationship with Terminator?
I do.
I don't think you know this. Well, you know this part, that I first saw it with you. I did not see this until like in my 20s or something. Uh-huh. But this was my brother's favorite movie growing up. So pre-me being alive, either when it came out or when it was really big, my brother dressed up as Terminator for Halloween one year.
Oh, yeah.
And this is still pre-me, but we kept all of our Halloween makeup in a baggie under the sink in like the main floor bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this like half a Terminator mask in that bag. And I had no idea what it was. All I could tell is that it was like some robot. And every once in a while when I was in that bathroom, I would just put the mask on.
I love it.
I had no idea what it was. And
did you just do like robot voices? You weren't even like, I'll be back.
I was like, I am robot. Yeah.
Amazing.
All I knew about Terminator was like the photos in the family album of my brother wearing that thing and just being like,
That's so funny because I have such a strong flash of a memory from when I was maybe 4 or 5 going out for Halloween and seeing one of the older kids dressed as Terminator. And he probably had the exact same mask. Like he had like what looked like a robot arm and like a half of a robot face with a red eye. And I was like, he's the coolest kid I've ever seen in my life.
Honestly, it's such a strong memory for me because I was so, so, so young that the thought of Terminator reminds me of the smell of grease paint Halloween makeup. You know, like that shitty, plasticky.
I can smell it right now.
It never dries so you can't touch your face. Otherwise, your whole witch face is gone.
Yes.
That's what it smells like.
Amazing.
That's what the Terminator smells like.
That's great.
Yeah.
So what do you think of this movie? Like, can you watch this as an indie movie or do you just watch it as an action movie? Because when I see it, all I see is like the lo-fi, low-budget approach that you would see in like El Mariachi or The Evil Dead. Like when you watch those movies, you can see that they had no budget, but they were pulling it all off.
I think it's hard because of like where and when we're watching it. Arnold Schwarzenegger was like the biggest bankable star.
Not when this was made.
No, but I mean, we're watching it in retrospect. James Cameron is the biggest bankable director. Like it's hard to look at it as a scrappy upstart just from my perspective as somebody who was born after it was made. But I can totally appreciate when you see like all the matte paintings and stuff and how big of a world they were dreaming about and how they were able to convey it with, you know, like a soundstage.
Mm-hmm.
And then also too, another moment where I really think you can tell that they're really hustling for every dollar to be seen on screen is the body horror moments with the Terminator. I'm like, what's his name? I almost called him a Transformer. I would have been shot by fucking fans.
A bullet comes out through your headphones while we're recording.
Where he's like playing with the gears in his arm and he's pulling at his face and stuff. And we're using like the model of Arnold Schwarzenegger's face. And it looks a little cheesy by today's standards,
sure.
But I love it in the same sense that I love that scene in Poltergeist where that guy's like pulling his face off.
Yeah.
And you could only do that with somebody like Stan Winston at the helm.
Yeah.
It's really good. And you can also just see like, oh, wow, we're putting money into like fake heads of our main actor.
Yeah. The animatronics, especially of the robot as the Terminator, as a full robot at the end of the movie, are awesome. Like, where it's chasing down Sarah Connor.
Yeah, because that's all stop motion.
Yes, yeah. Like, they do such great work with miniatures in here, and it's mostly to expand the world. Like, the post-apocalyptic stuff that we see, like, the tanks rolling over skulls, and the flying, like, essentially just, like, giant robot
pew,
planes
pew, pew.
Shooting lasers in the sky.
Pew, pew.
It's like I'm there. Like, that's all miniatures. And they do such a great job of editing and cutting around it and like characters looking up at lights as planes go by in other shots that you really feel like they're there seeing that stuff. There's maybe only a couple shots of like rear projection shit where the characters are in frame with those robots. For the most part, it's just really clever editing to make you feel like they're there beside those giant monster machines.
Mm-hmm. I did also appreciate all the car chases.
It's always great to see a car chase in the 80s.
Cars.
Yeah.
I miss them.
Yeah, like
they look so dangerous.
Exactly.
Were there even seat belts?
I gotta say, the stunt work in this movie is also amazing. Like, for stuff like that, for the car chase sequences. Like, we have moments where people are on top of cars that are smashing into other cars.
And they're turning, like, they're just, like, whipping the wheel around and turning onto a road and, like, scraping against another car. And it's just, like,
it's real dangerous
shit.
This
is crazy.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I don't believe anything that happens with cars now.
No, not at all. Like, car chases now are so much faster and crazier, but they don't look as real or feel as dangerous. And going back to watch stuff from the 70s and 80s is the way to go if you like car chase sequences.
Yeah. Also, like, those manufacturers never did, like, danger tests on their
no,
vehicles.
No, that's why they were made of all metal. There's no crumple
just,
zones.
Yeah, like, steel cages of doom.
Yeah. I mean, it's why Death Proof from Quentin Tarantino looks so good. It's a modern car chase, but it's done with old-ass cars. It's done the way they would have done old shit back in the day, and it's immediately, like, more frightening. Two great stunt shots in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
One is when Arnold is on top of the car. And
when's he on top of the car?
He's on top of the car when he first encounters Sarah Connor in the club, and Reese pops
in
out
the club
and blows the Terminator away. And then there's a bit of a chase sequence with them and the cops and the Terminator trying to get out of there,
mm-hmm.
right? But again, this just goes to show like what they couldn't do and how they were able to get away with it, and just on the fly thinking. There is a moment where Schwarzenegger is on top of the car, and we have to show that he's an unstoppable killing machine. We have to see Schwarzenegger's face on top of the car. But they weren't going to put their actor in that much danger. But we need this shot to convey how dangerous he is. So, on the spot, last minute thinking, they build a giant long mural, kind of like a matte painting, of an alleyway, like 100 feet long. And then they just really quickly zoom it past a car that's sitting perfectly still with Arnold on top punching through the windshield. And you think they're moving.
I wish I had paid attention to that.
I could show it to you later if you want.
Okay.
You're like, yeah, I guess I'll watch this. I guess I'll be forced to watch this movie a second time today. The other one that always drives me crazy because it looks like it hurts, even you were like, oh, fuck, that looked bad.
When he fell out of the sky?
When he fell out of the sky. So, like, the Terminators.
Completely naked.
Well, yeah, you can't travel to the past with clothing on. Why Everybody
not?
Knows this. This is
not?
Time travel 101. This is the reason why the fly gets turned into Brundlefly. You can't have other material in there, otherwise it confuses the machine.
I wanted to see the Terminator's future suit. We don't know what his normal outfit looks like.
Kim, the future suit is the robot.
Do you think
robot.
He still wears, like,
the
leather and sunglasses?
I mean, he probably wears trashy clothing. Like, they have to look like they fit in.
Oh.
There's a whole future flashback sequence.
His little punk outfit.
Yeah, where we see him sort of, like, break in. Man, that image of the Terminator in the future just, like, decimating the human hideout. And, like, all you see is this silhouette and these red glowing eyes.
I forgot about that, too.
Like a fucking horror movie. No, yeah, so, like, when they travel back in time, they are completely naked. And Reese, when he comes in, like, for whatever reason, the Terminator gets to just show up on ground, but I guess they know how this tech works. The humans have hijacked the machine. He gets transported back 8 feet into the air, and when he shows up, he just like slams down onto the alleyway. That is a real stunt actor basically jumping off a ladder onto a real road with no safety equipment underneath him.
That's not very nice.
It had to look real.
It looked real.
Apparently, so Michael Biehn, the actor, when he watched it, he was like, this is the craziest thing I've ever seen. I've never seen anybody else do anything more dangerous as a stunt actor. It's the thing that I would never ask anybody to do. And apparently the stunt actor did negotiate a good bonus from James Cameron to do that stunt. So he got paid extra to do it, and it looks like it hurt because it did.
Oh.
It looks great, though.
Yeah, that moment I physically was like, ow.
Yeah. But that's what you needed. Like, you needed to feel hurt.
No. You know how I feel about, like, full body burns? This one had one.
Hell yeah, it did.
It was brief. It was when he was, like, coming out of the truck when it was on fire.
Yep.
But I don't like seeing real actors in real hot paint.
They get paid for it.
No. No, I don't like it.
No, I get it. You know, it's the kind of stuff that we've walked away from. It's why everything's CGI now. But people are getting hurt less, which is nice. The horrorness of the Terminator is definitely in the first half of the movie, where he's hunting down Sarah Connor.
And he's killing the wrong Sarah Connor?
He's just killing every Sarah Connor. He's going through the phone book.
I have never been as afraid of a phone book as I have been in this movie. We're just like, wow, you really shouldn't have your address just out there in a book for everybody to see.
Yeah. I mean, this is the kind of stuff nobody thought of back in the day.
And now we're just like location tagging on Instagram. Like, yeah. I'm in this building right now. Come find me.
Telling everybody where we are all the time.
Come find me.
But it's built in such a great way too, right? Like, we don't know. Again, it's hard to watch the movie with 1984 eyes, but, you know, like, you don't know why he's killing these women. He's just going through he's a shark. He just finds these women's names. He goes to their house. He shoots them. Like, he basically just confirms name and then murders them in their hallway.
He doesn't confirm name because he kills the fucking roommate.
That is true. He realizes that he kills the wrong person when Sarah Connor leaves a voicemail on the machine saying exactly
like,
where
hey,
she is.
Hey, Judy, it's me, Sarah Connor. Yeah, I'm still alive. I'm at this club.
I'm at exactly this address wearing this clothing. Find me at a table. I look real scared right now. Please don't show up with a gun.
Toodles. Beep.
But it's a great moment when she looks in the phone book and sees that she's the third name down. So it's just like, oh wow, he's coming for me next. There's nothing I can do.
Yeah, no, the writing is great.
The writing is so good.
The writing's great.
And like, before we realize that Reese is a human being, or that he's there to help her.
Because you're like, wow, some of these Terminators, they really skimped on the budget.
some of these Terminators don't look like they could take a punch and also have trauma.
This Terminator's depressed.
That transition sequence where he goes to sleep at the construction site and there's just a...
And he's like, oh, machine.
Yeah. But like, we're watching a caterpillar just do regular stuff in the present day.
We're just watching machines do machine things.
And then it transitions to the future and like we realize that like it's driving over a bunch of rubble and skulls. Like, it's just great editing. Like, even just when cars show up and the camera whip pans around and we see somebody just like with a shotgun, like, it is all such low budget filmmaking that you would see in somebody's first movie, and it's really well done.
Okay.
I guess I'm just in love with the movie. Like, I love how it's made. I love how it's shot.
You're really having a great time here.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
No, it's good. You have a great time.
I have always thought of this movie as a slasher. It's got some great gore in it, you know, like, it's got mostly just like taking the Terminator face off and stuff. It's got a lot of great gunfights.
It's so funny because you've been telling me that we were doing the Terminator for this season for like months and months and months, and I'd be like, okay, yeah, that's cool, that's fine. And then like, we're watching, recording the Terminator this week. I'm like, yeah, that's fine.
You're also editing a document that has the word Terminator on it.
Yeah, and then last night we sat down to watch the Terminator so we could record this episode, and it dawned on me that Terminator is not Predator.
Yes.
Which is what my brain heard every time you said Terminator, and I was really sad we weren't watching Predator.
Well, Kim, I just gotta say that I've been wanting to do the Terminator in the show for a long time. It has never really made sense to do. We haven't had an excuse for it. But it fits the theme for this season of the podcast, so now was my chance to do it. If you come up with a secret theme that we can run for a season that the Predator fits into...
Can we just watch Predator?
We can watch Predator.
I feel like I'm old.
I'm a Terminator 1 man, but I'm also a Predator 2 boy. I like Predator 2 a lot more than Predator 1. Predator has never been...
You just have something against the jungle. Because you hate it in House 2, too.
I hate the jungle.
You're just a bitch about the jungle.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I just like Bill Paxton. Maybe that's what it is. Bill Paxton has a cameo appearance as one of the punks who gets killed in the beginning of this movie by the Terminator.
I like that he's got, like, road marks on his face.
Yeah, right? What a good look. I hope it's a tattoo. Or do you think he just paints it on every day?
Yeah, no, it's his thing. His name is Roadkill.
You're probably right. Like, that's probably entirely accurate. Bill Paxton, one of the only people to get killed by a Terminator, a Predator, and a Xenomorph.
Is he killed by Predator and Predator 2?
He sure is.
Oh, I guess we have to watch Predator 2 also.
We own them both on VHS. We can make that happen.
Woo!
Yeah. We also learned in trivia at a bar trivia night the other day that Lance Henriksen, also one of the only people to...
I disagree.
You think so?
Yeah.
You think he gets... killed by a predator in Predator versus Alien?
No, he's not a human being in Alien, so it doesn't count.
Well, the question was, which actor has been killed by a predator, a Terminator?
Yeah, but you can't kill a robot.
You can power it down.
Nope.
So does that mean we don't kill the Terminator at the end of this movie? Is
obviously not, because there's 12 of them.
But it's just it's a model. It's like saying, like, you kill a car, but, like, that car still exists somewhere else as a different car with a different serial number.
Sure.
P.S. So we should totally rewatch The Terminator because the final shot.
I don't need to rewatch this movie again for another several years.
Oh, that hurts. Because when we watch movies like Planet Terror, the Robert Rodriguez masterpiece, and he's making fun of all of the beats
your balls.
But even, like, the end of the movie when Rose McGowan is like, it's gonna be us with our backs against the ocean fighting against the world.
Two against the world.
Yeah, that's the end of Terminator.
It
like,
is
that is 100% the
yeah,
end of Terminator.
It is. That's all I thought of.
But so the final shot of the Terminator.
Where the fuck is she going? To the future? Or like...
That's exactly. Storms come. Like, what a man. The end of this movie is crazy. Yeah. The storm on the horizon. She's driving into it. It's a great image. Also, they shot all that stuff at the end without a permit. And they had to convince a cop that they were shooting a student film when he came to the production. He's like, hey, what the fuck's going on here? Where's your permit? Like, oh, we don't need a permit. We're like, we're just students. But the final shot of the Terminator being crushed and, like, the light going out on the eyeball and it's smoking, you know, from the mechanical press that she's put it in was an afterthought.
That's how Chucky dies in Chucky 2?
Yeah, that's exactly how Chucky dies.
Oh, Chucky is a Terminator.
Kinda with voodoo, like a voodoo Terminator.
So he's an organic Terminator.
Sure, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because if you cut Chucky's hand, he bleeds.
Does he?
Yeah. He gets imbued with life.
Oh, that's fun.
That's why he's got that crazy bloody stump. Where he's got the knife jammed into it and he's coming after Andy.
Okay.
Anyway, so Terminator. We've got this press that crushes the Terminator. It powers it down. That final shot, they did not prepare for it. It wasn't in the script. They weren't planning on doing it. And they had to, on the fly, just figure it out. So Stan Winston literally just, like, whipped up some metal mess that looked like a crushed skull. They got a light bulb that they had a dial on that they could slowly turn off. And literally, like, his assistant is behind blowing cigarette smoke in behind it to get, like, that smoky death effect.
That's great. That's how we got some smoke effects in our cocktail book.
We did, yeah. We had to get some smoke coming out of a glass to make it look like it was hot. And we had our photographer's son blow, like, vape smoke into the cup.
And we were like, woo, it's a hot apple cider.
Ah, I love movies.
Cinema.
Anyway, it was a fun time to sort of, like, twist the movies that we normally talk about. I mean, we've talked about some Nicolas Cage movies in the past that aren't exactly horror, but I mean, if you frame it the right way, Con Air is kind of 13 ghosts with criminals, like Kim mentioned. And yeah, I definitely think that if you are open to it, you can think of The Terminator as a slasher movie the way you would Halloween or Friday the 13th. I'm a big fan of it. And like I mentioned earlier, it totally fits the secret theme for this season of the podcast. And if you can guess, if you've already guessed what the theme is, submit your answer to us through the Google form that you'll find in the episode description wherever you're listening to this. If you're the first person to get it right, you're going to win yourself a cool prize pack. And we've also got some randomized draws for everybody else who correctly guesses it as well along the way.
If you want even more Nightmare on Film Street in between these regular releases, hit us up on Patreon in the Fiend Club at nofspodcast.com/fiendclub. We do a monthly watch party online that's super fun, and we also release bonus episodes about movies that are live in the theater, what we've been watching, and we usually have a series going. We just finished up our Final Destination series, which was really fun. That's nofspodcast.com/fiendclub.
We'll be back again next week with another episode, but until then, I'm John.
I'm Kimmy.
Stay creepy.
It appears you made it out alive, but we'll get you next time. Help us to grow the horde. Leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you subscribe. More terror can be found lurking on our website, nofspodcast.com. Until next time, stay creepy, fiends.